Let's go into the Word of God. I get myself together here. For those of you all that were not with us on last Sunday, I would encourage you to get the CD. Last Sunday was for mature audience only. If you hear it, you'll know why. Usually when you hear people say that, there's some sexual content in that. That ain't why. Just want you to know that now. But it was for the mature believer. We were dealing with some aspects of glory, and I think that if you have to be mature to be able to understand how your life is working in the plan of God and what He desires to do with it. Children don't understand discipline because they're children. As we get older, we learn to appreciate the facets of discipline because of what it yields. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the things He suffered. Even God had to learn obedience. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I want to talk to you about a subject today that I believe that all of us that love God are able to relate to. When I was... I want to speak to those of us that perhaps you've had financial challenges or you've had physical challenges. I want to talk to people who have been challenged in some areas in life now, because I have gone through some very dark days in my Christian walk, but I always found something that the enemy couldn't take. In other words, let me share it like this. You ever went through something and you're going through it so long, you seem like it's going to always be like this. And you kind of get that, oh, well, I guess I'll just have to live with this. I mean, I'm just being honest. So you kind of go through that situation. But I found something that I never have to just say, oh, well, I'm going to just have to live with this. Because no matter what, you can't take this. And that has always become my whole card, if you will. When my body is afflicted with pain, when I can't articulate to somebody how I really feel, and just trying to make it another day seems almost impossible, there's still something you can't take from me. When I don't have enough money and I got a whole lot more month left, and I can't seemingly explain how I'm going to make it, if I'm going to make it, there's still something you can't take from me. When people look down on you because of the season you are in life, where maybe you just don't look quite like they look right now. Maybe you don't have quite what they have right now. When people that you thought would understand don't understand and actually ridicule you, there's still something that enemy can't take from me right now. So that's what I want to talk about today. Because I have found this to be, like I said, my whole card. I have found this to be the thing that I grasp, I hold on to, no matter what's happening. Maybe, you know, relationships are not good right now. Things seem sour, but I got something that I can hold on to. I want to talk to you from the subject today, manifesting the hidden reality of salvation. Manifesting the hidden reality of salvation. The Bible says in Romans 13 and 11, it says, and that, knowing the time, time is important. Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Why? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's closer now than when you first started out. You thought it was close when you first started. It's even closer now. I am amazed at what salvation is. One of my prayers today concerning this message is that somebody will receive a nugget. That there's some little thing that will be just what you need to help you along the way. That there's something that the Holy Spirit will impress in your spirit that will sustain you, that will become part of the blocks that he's building in your life that's indestructible. I am finding in scripture that they talked a lot about the salvation process. Because when people are going through all kinds of things here and there, you have to have a foundation to be able to build upon. So I'm talking about manifesting the hidden reality of salvation. If we lined up a whole room of people from different backgrounds and walks of life, and we lined them up and I said, pick out everyone that's saved, it would be impossible. I know people say, well, look, there's something different about you. Yes, something different about a whole lot of folks these days. And it ain't all salvation. But how is it that there is something that makes us different and it's not seen with the naked eye? It's a hidden reality. The word salvation means this. Thank God for our worship team. The word salvation means deliverance. It means preservation and safety. So I'm talking about manifesting the hidden reality of deliverance, of preservation, and of safety. The late Bishop Lockett said something years ago that really affected me. He said, you're being saved, you are saved, and you will be saved. Said, you're being saved, you are saved, and you will be saved. I said, okay. The Bible says, he that believeth on him, in essence, because of our belief, we are saved. So we are saved, but then we're being saved. So when you look at us, what are you being delivered from? What are you being preserved from? What are you experiencing safety from? Each and every day, you're being saved. But then he says, and you will be saved. Well, the Bible says, from the wrath that is to come. So not only are we saved, not only are we being saved, but we will be saved from the wrath that is to come. We will be preserved from the wrath that is to come. We will be delivered from the wrath that is to come. We will experience safety from the wrath that is to come. That's salvation. Let me get into some text here. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to start around, let's go verse 2. And that's going to be my text today, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 2. Now, we're talking about deliverance, we're talking about preservation, and we're talking about safety. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, God the Father knew you and chose. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. So think about this. We now have a relationship with God, and his Spirit has made us holy. So listen, true holiness is not derived from some denomination or other man-made activity. The Spirit of God has made us holy. It ain't what we wear. It ain't because we attend some event. It ain't, watch this. It ain't because we got baptized in some water. People have strange things that they equate with holiness, but they're not biblical. His Spirit has made us holy. Look at verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. Our salvation is an act of God's grace and mercy. His great grace and mercy. I'm going somewhere, I really am, but I want to be slow in this. Because, like I said, I have found this to be something that no matter what I have gone through in life, you know, one of the things I stop and I can still do? Mother, to this day, I was sitting and I was thinking, July 5th, 1987, I gave my life to the Lord. In a few weeks, we talking about 30 years. Wow. In 30 years, no, is that 20 years? Is it 30? The thing that I can still say is this. With all that I've been through, I still ain't gave up my salvation. No matter what else, you know what? There might be things that you don't know about God and what he can do on this side and this, that. But you know what? Your salvation is still intact. Maybe you don't know what everybody else knows. Maybe you don't know all of the scriptures other folks know. But is your salvation still intact? Maybe you're not in the same economic status that everybody else around you is. Maybe things don't look like they're ever going to get any better for you. But is your salvation still intact? If it is, I have some real good news for you. So just hang on with me for a second here. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. What are you expecting? Because you're saved, there should be some expectation. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. Things happening in my life, stuff falling apart. No, no, no. Can we step away from your life for a second? Can we step away from your condition for a second? Can we leave all your mess behind for a moment and really talk about expectation? Well, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, that's good. That's why they kept writing here so we would all understand. Verse 4. And we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Do you realize that this salvation of ours guarantees something in heaven for each of us? It means each and every one of us that really has salvation through Jesus Christ has something in heaven for us. Not only do we have something, but it's beyond change and decay. In other words, it's not fading away. It won't be removed. Nothing can touch it. It is protected by God. Now, that's better than any insurance policy. This is because of salvation. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying whatever you're going through down here is not affecting that. I'm saying as bad as it can possibly ever get, it's still not going to affect that. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. They repossessed this. Well, you know what? They ain't repossessing your inheritance. Ain't nobody touching that. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. My best friend walked out on me. Jesus would never leave you nor forsake you. See, I want to lift your perspective today. I want to talk about what you got in the package of salvation. Sometimes we're so concerned about these things that are temporal. I want to talk about what's eternal. I want to talk about what's going to matter when you take the last breath. Let me try to save my voice. I got a ways to go yet. Verse 5. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So I want you to think about something. First off, there is a salvation that is prepared for each of us. You remember in John chapter 14, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. There's a salvation prepared for you. You don't prepare something for somebody unless you're expecting them. God is expecting you to finish this course. He's expecting you to get to what he has prepared for you. And whatever happens down here doesn't affect what's prepared for you up there. Well, Pastor, how can you say that? According to the scripture, it says God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation. The enemy cannot take you out until you get what's yours. Okay, maybe I need to do it in another way, Ken. Maybe if I do it like this. Candace picked it up, so I'll get it too. It can't work, and it won't work. Why? Because God is protecting you until you receive this. Wait a minute. I thought we were saved already. So how have we yet got something to receive? Because you saved, you're being saved, and you... I got a handful of folk with me today. Maybe the rest of y'all will get it a little later, you know. I'm sorry. I know that this is not the, you know, but for me, I'm just telling you what I hold on to. I found this works all the time. All the time. When you sitting up there and you praying and the enemy telling you, God ain't hearing you. I got, you know what? He heard me when I prayed and repented. Hello. You try. Why ain't this changing? When you praying for so and so, you believe in God, and then the enemy start telling you, they look like they're getting worse. Maybe it's something in your life. Maybe you really ain't all of that. You know what? He loved me enough to die on Calvary for me. That still ain't changed. See, you got to have that reference point. You got to have what really matters. So all of this other stuff, the Bible says we shouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We hearing this and hearing that. But what about the doctrine of salvation? It hasn't changed. Y'all getting me excited. So there's salvation that is prepared for each of us. And we're protected by the power of God until we receive the inheritance that goes with it. So you got protection till you get to what God has prepared for you. That's why that enemy mad. He can't do to you what he want to do. I want you to think about something. Think about the greatest trial, the greatest thing that the enemy's done to you. And I want you to think about this. What does he want to do to you? What is it he can't do to you? Can you think if you turn your back on God and went back now, what the enemy would love to do to you now? What would he do if there was no protection on you, Doug? What would he want to do? What kind of havoc would he want to run in you and your family? What would he want to do to destroy bloodlines? What would he want to do to make you just lose your absolute mind? But he can't. See, he can't. We talking about all of this, what the enemy doing. No, I want to talk about what you can't do. It's almost like you can just stick your tongue out. Nah, 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 nah. He can't do it. I don't care how mad he is, he can't do it. People wonder, well, is God really that powerful? Think about it. The enemy hate you. If he could, he'd destroy you. But he can't. Well, Pastor, how do you know he would destroy you? Because he came to steal, kill, and if he could, he would. It's the fact that he can't. Oh, hallelujah. I got a ways to go, so. Look at verse 6. So be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead. Told you I got good news. Even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. Listen, there's a season of heaviness when we go through things. Listen, God is not insensitive to the fact that sometimes we could go through stuff that affects us. But you know what he said? I'll give you a season for that. In other words, get over it. You got a season for that, but now let's keep moving. You ain't living your life in that. So whatever, yeah, we deal with some things. Yeah, some things really hurt. We lose loved ones. We deal with issues in our lives. Okay, you got your season. Mourn with those that mourn and rejoice with those that rejoice. Get over it. I'm going to give you space for that. But it's for a season, not a lifetime. Are you with me? So, you know, we have to do stuff like, how you feeling? I'm blessed and highly favored. Because you don't want to tell people what season you're in. You know what? Right now, you know what? I really, you know, there's some times I was told my wife, I said, somebody called me the other day. And it wasn't one of y'all. It was somebody else. I said, you know, I just don't feel like talking. In this season, I don't feel like talking. It ain't for the rest of my life, but in this season, I don't feel like talking. Because you're going to talk about stuff I don't want to talk about right now. So the best thing for me is just stay in my season and you get the voicemail. Now I'm going to come out of my season. I'm going to call you back and we're going to talk. But not right now. See, now when I talk about me, all of y'all like, yeah. Y'all do the same thing. No, I ain't talking to them. And you go right on. Somebody said, that's why they made voicemail. All right. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Don't y'all be thinking that when you call me and you get my voicemail, I'm in that season. That ain't the case. Sometimes I'm just doing stuff. Can't always just get to the phone. I try to get back to people, though. I really do. But now if you was calling and say, hey, and I stopped what I was doing so we could go, hey, then I'm feeling like, okay, next time I'm going to have to be in that season when you call. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm getting better, though. I'm better on the phone. I used to not like talking on the phone. Okay, I'm just seeing if I was getting an amen back there. Yeah. My kids say I'm always on the phone. But it's I have to handle business with folks, though. Verse 7. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. Listen to this. Did you know what you're going through proves that your faith is genuine? Listen, what you're going through proves that you are genuine in your faith in God. God, why I'm going through this? Look like because your faith is genuine. In other words, everybody can't go through this because their faith ain't genuine. You go through it because your stuff is real. He says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So us overcoming our trials is producing glory, praise, and honor when Christ appears. I know that this may seem strange, but can you imagine just being like, bring the trial on? Come on, that's all you got. Because now it's almost like there's some jobs, they do what's called, in manufacturing, what's called piecework. You get paid for how many pieces you produce. Every trial you overcome is producing something. How many pieces can you manufacture? Because every piece of the trial you manufacture is producing praise, honor, and glory when Christ appears. See, the one of the ways that the enemy tricks us so much in a trial is it becomes so much about us. Think about it. It ain't about nobody else in the world matters then. It's just us and what we're going through. But what if you knew that what you were going, imagine this. Let me just stay in my text. It says, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Watch this. What you are going through seemingly by yourself is going to produce praise, glory, and honor in front of the entire world. But the enemy tricked you into thinking it's only about you. And so you go like, oh, well, what if I compromise a little bit? If you compromise a little bit, you miss out on praise, glory, and honor in front of the whole world. You see the difference in the perspective? Because he tells us it's only about us. Come on, man. What, you know, it's like... Let me help you. Let me find you. Paul says sometimes you have to do carnal things to get people, you know. You speak to them as carnal. So, in other words, worldly stuff. Not carnal in the bad sense, but worldly stuff. You know how you try to be on a diet and that cake is there? I mean, it's not just a cake. It's the one you like. It is your flavor. It's your texture. It's moist. Then it's stuff like, okay, watch this. You know you don't need it. So you say stuff like, I'll cut a small piece. Wait. You don't need it at all. Knowing you don't need it, but I'll just cut a small piece. Just a small one. The point was you don't need it at all, but you want a small. Then you get the small one and you enjoy it. Now you know what's next, right? I might as well get another piece. I already don't ate this one. So you see how compromise start? So now it's the same when we're dealing with the things in the spirit, except they are more detrimental. Because all you did was enjoy the taste, the flavor, and the texture of the cake. When you forfeit your glory, your praise, and your honor in front of the whole world because you simply could not contain yourself. Let's keep going here. Verse 8. You love him even though you've never seen him. Have y'all thought about that? Not one of us in here have ever seen Jesus. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. So you trust in somebody you don't see. That's why I don't believe there's nothing wrong with talking about the hidden realities. Because Jesus is a hidden reality. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. What makes y'all jump around? What makes Angela sing like that? You can't see him. Matter of fact, not only you can't see him, you ain't never seen him. And you singing about him. See, I'm telling you, it's the salvation experience. So you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. I mean, a joy that's on the inside. You can't jump it out. You can't shout it out. You can't scream it out. There's no words for it. It's something on the inside that's just stirring. It's an inexpressible joy. Then he said, the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. So now the reward for trusting Christ will be expressed in a deliverance, in a preservation, and a safety like nothing we could have ever imagined. Let me share something right quick with you about salvation. We think, Ken, that salvation is not going to hell. And that's true, in part. But what is it going to be like when we get a full comprehension of what Jesus really did for us? When you see millions and watch this. I want to share something with you right quick. The Bible says that God is going to wipe away every tear. Wait a minute. Why would God wipe away every tear? It must mean, first off, we're there with him. Because he's not wiping away no tear from a distance. Why are we crying anyway? I mean, you're in heaven. Why are you going to cry in heaven? When you begin to see what judgment really looks like, when you begin to see people, countless numbers of individuals who are on their way to the lake of fire, when you begin to see your friends, relatives, people that you knew, it's going to take God to wipe away every tear. Because we don't really have a full comprehension of what salvation is like, because you've not seen what the end of this thing is. You've not seen the conclusion of the matter. See, right now it's just like, well, you might want to get saved. No, if you understood the end, there is no might. Let me stay here so we can finish this up. Verse 10. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. So now I want you to imagine this. The prophets were prophesying about the salvation that we're experiencing. They didn't know all about it. So what am I saying? You can prophesy about something that you don't know all about. Let me say that again. You can prophesy about something that you don't know all about. There are some of us in this room today. You've been scared because the Spirit of God came upon you to utter something. And you couldn't utter it or didn't utter it because you were afraid, because I didn't know the whole thing. I didn't know all about this. I didn't know this angle. I didn't know that. Why? Because you were analyzing what was going on instead of prophesying. Don't you realize the prophets prophesied about something that they didn't know all about? See, I told you, if it's just one little nugget, God move us forward, nugget at a time if you have to. Verse 11, they wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about. They knew it was the Spirit of Christ. They just didn't know what time or what situation the Spirit of Christ was talking about. He told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. So in other words, your prophecy may only contain a part of the whole, and you may not understand the whole. Well, Pastor, I don't know. Is that really in the Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 9 says we prophesy in part because we know in part. Get over ourselves. I need the word that you're going to give more than you need to have understanding about what you're going to give. I say it again, I need the word that you're going to give more than you need to have understanding about the word you're going to give. Let God use you to do what he wants to do. Stop trying to figure everything out. Our little minds cannot contain the whole plan of God. All right, verse 12. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. You know something? You ever see people who prophesy? How come there ain't a word for them? I mean, you don't get me wrong. You know how you stand and you don't say, thus saith the Lord, and you telling this person this, that, then all of a sudden you in a situation. Ain't no word. How come you can't prophesy to you? Our gifts were not meant for us. They benefit other people. Which means you got a gift that's going to benefit somebody else. Let it go. Use it. Somebody's waiting on your gift. You're sitting here trying to figure everything out. I'm sorry, that's not in my notes, but let me get back to this. So they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. Now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit and sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Salvation is so wonderful that even angels are watching it unfold. Listen to me. See, we keep acting like salvation is a finished thing. The angels in eternity right now are watching this thing unfold. The angels had saw the old prophets of old prophesy about a suffering Savior. One day they see the Lamb that is slain before the foundation of the world manifest in the earth as Jesus Christ, who suffers and dies on the cross. They are seeing it unfold. Now they see God moving from just using Israel to including the Gentiles in this salvation. They are watching all of the plan of God unfold. That's how wonderful it is that even angels are literally mesmerized by God's plan of salvation. I'm talking about the hidden reality of salvation. What else has got the attention of angels like that? Are y'all with me? Verse 13. So think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the grace of salvation that will come. Wait a minute. I thought we were saved. What do you mean will come? It will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. The fulfillment of our salvation is when Jesus is revealed to the entire world. But watch this. Clear your perspective on what really matters. That's what he's saying when he said, think clearly. See, stop thinking, oh, well, woe is me. I'm going through the, oh, girl, if you only knew. Lord. Clear your perspective on what really matters. You got something that angels are watching. Then he says this, and exercise self-control. So control your own self regarding all the things that's around you. Notice he said, control yourself. Not God control you. All the stuff around you, you control yourself. You got to say no to the cake. It ain't God, oh, don't, No, it's not God. You control yourself. You can't get mad at nobody if you ate the cake. Because it was your self-control. Look at this. I want to show you something. He says, look forward to the gracious salvation. I was, those of you all that's going to get in your car today, you look forward, you go forward. When you look backward, you go backward. You look forward, you go forward. You look backwards, you go backwards. How many people you ever seen driving forward looking backwards? A crash is coming soon. If you want to go forward, you all, we got to keep looking. Stop worrying about what's in the past of your life. It's in the past for a reason. It's the past. I love Lion King and that one little, when that one little part when that monkey's there and he takes Simba out and he hits Simba on the head with that thing. He says, "What was that?" He said, "It doesn't matter. It was in the past." It doesn't matter. It was in the past. Sure, it hurt. Sure, it affected you. But you know what? It's in the past. Look forward, go forward. Look backward, go backward. Y'all working me today. Verse 14. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. We were messed up, you all. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. The life of salvation has the expectation of obedience. Be obedient to God. We don't live to satisfy our own desires. It's not about, well, I'm not happy, so I guess I should move. I'm not happy with this. I should do this. What? In order for you to be happy, something has to happen. And the something that has to happen is usually something that pleases you. If we're going to be mature, everything in this life that pleases God doesn't please us. When the Bible says submit one to another, everybody you submit to is not somebody that necessarily pleases you. We say stuff like, I deserve to have this. What do you really deserve? You know what we really deserve? Do you really want what you really deserve? I'll move on then. Verse 16, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you're going to be judged or rewarded, period. That's it. You must live in reverent fear of him during your time as foreigners in the land. If you've ever visited a foreign country, one of the things that you always keep in the back of your mind, this ain't home. As beautiful as the things may be. I mean, you know, Ken, I'm sure you've seen some wonderful things in your travels. Oh, but you're going like, this ain't home. This is not home. So all of the stuff you see while you're traveling here on this planet, this ain't home. Even when it's beautiful, when it's enticing, this ain't home. Even when it's terrible and tormenting and the things that you're going through, this ain't home. If we can keep in mind that this is not the finished product of what God has for us, it'll keep us moving forward and not backwards. You know, this entire life we live is a journey to where we will spend eternity. So don't let short-term gratification disqualify us from eternal satisfaction. You've got guaranteed eternal satisfaction if you hold on. Or you can sell out for short-term self-gratification. Get what you deserve, get what you want, and lose what you have. Verse 18, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver, it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. The price of this deliverance that we have, the price of this preservation, the price of this safety that we have was the blood of the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. God didn't come with no short, cheap stuff for us. He gave his very best. Verse 20, God chose him as our ransom long before the world began, but he's now revealed him to us in these last days. Salvation through Jesus Christ has always been the plan of God. We just were not aware of it. Verse 21, we're almost finished. Through Christ, you've come to trust in God, and you've placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. Some of us have trouble understanding salvation because the truth of the matter is we're older now than we were when we first began. We're starting to face the reality that we could indeed slip into eternity anytime now. You know, when you're young, you think you're invincible. I'm going to live forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you start to get a little older. The reality is, hey, any day could be my checkout day. You live in a world full of chaos. North Korea is doing this. Syria is doing that. The Russians are doing this, that, and the other. So what's going on? Any time now. But the reality is, look at this scripture. Through Christ, you've come to trust in God. You've placed your faith and hope in God. Why? Because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. So Jesus is our example of what happens to those that put their trust in God. I need to know that putting my trust in God, what does it result in? What does it look like on the other side? Is anybody ever benefited from this that can tell me what it's like? Well, here's Jesus as our representative who trusted God. Remember, no man took his life, but he laid it down. What happens when you lay your life down for God? What is the benefit from it? Well, one, God raised him from the dead and gave him great glory. So guess what he's going to do for you? Raise you from the dead, if that's the case, and give you great glory. Because Jesus is the example of what this salvation really looks like. So I know I can trust God. Verse 22, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. Loving our brothers and sisters sincerely is one of the signs of true repentance. People that don't love other people, they have not repented. Just thought I'd put that out there just like it is. Because the true sign, or one of the true signs of repentance, is loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's easy to say, I love God whom I've not seen, but you can't love your brother who you do see. The love of God will flood your life to love other people. Verse 23, let's wrap up. For you have been born again, but not a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living Word of God. So we've been born again, but it's the life that does not quickly end. In other words, this new life on being born again is eternal. Revelations 21 and 8, and we'll get ready to close. The Bible says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Which is the second death. Listen to this. The goal is to be born twice and die once. The goal is to be born twice and die once. Because that's the manifestation of the hidden reality of salvation. To be born twice and die once. We don't want to have to experience the second death. Because there's a resurrection where the second death cannot hurt you. It won't hurt you and it can't hurt you. Because you were born twice and you died once. Every head bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I pray today as we've shared your word, the Lord, that there's a nugget, there's a phrase, there's something that someone can hold on to. There's this message that can sustain them, Lord, in times of trouble, times of adversity, times of affliction, times when the enemy would seek to make them doubt and walk in disbelief. Lord, I pray that the word of God, which is able to save our souls to the utmost, would be the anchor for our souls. I pray, Father, for those that may have been dealing with situations and circumstances in their own lives that seem so pressing that it was difficult for them to see that there's a far bigger picture. That everything that they're going through right now is producing glory, it's producing honor, and it's producing praise that will be revealed when Christ our Lord appears. I pray, Father, that today our perspective of life as we have seen it is changed to how you want us to view it. Viewing our salvation as being saved or delivered or preserved and experiencing the safety that only you can give. Father, I pray for each and every person now that they will walk with you and understand that you never leave them nor forsake them. That what they have is absolutely guaranteed, it's protected, it's kept and preserved and prepared for them and them alone. And God, give them the wisdom and the fortitude to not give in to the compromises of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Listen, this morning, or this afternoon now, my heart really was to ensure that there was something that could be heard or said today in such a way that maybe the things that we're facing don't compare to what's really there for us. Because sometimes, you know, somebody rubbing on your back saying it's going to be all right, sometimes that ain't enough. Sometimes somebody looking at you and saying, hey, you know, hang in there. That ain't enough. We need something sure. We need something more pressing, more convincing on the other end. And that's what I'm asking the Holy Spirit to do in us. To move us beyond the place where when there's nobody there to encourage us. That we could be like David, who encouraged himself in the Lord. When there's nobody there to say, you know what? I see what you're going through. When we could be reminded that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. That changes our perspective on what we're dealing with because it's been so focused on just us. And I believe today God wanted to encourage our hearts. He wanted to lift us beyond the things that we're dealing with. Family issues. People acting absolutely, I mean, let's just be honest, acting crazy. You know, some of us saying, well, Lord, I know this ain't what I planned for. I know this ain't what I prayed for. But I have had to learn in my life, my little short life, that God gives people free will. He allows them to exercise their free will. But you have to make up in your mind, no matter what, this is the path I have chosen. And I'm going to walk this path, whoever walks with me or whoever walks away from me. This is where I choose to be. And you have to be adamant about that. Because we're not just talking about pleasant life here. We're talking about eternity. Where we're going to spend all eternity. And one thing I do honestly believe with all my heart, that I will never be disappointed in heaven. I've had a lot of disappointments here. I'm serious. A lot of them. You go left, somebody else go right. Somebody said that they with you forever, and the next day they gone. I mean, you just things you try to build and develop relationships with people, and they all of a sudden get stupid. I mean, I'm just calling it what it is. No other explanation for stuff. But I am convinced that heaven is the one place that I will never be dissatisfied. I'll never have to be like, man, that wasn't even worth it. I'll never have to say that. That's why I believe whatever we're going through here, if you will change your perspective and see what is producing for you in the long run, you will not only accept what's happening in your life, but you will be able to move to a place like the disciples where you will be able to rejoice because of what's happening. And like we shared on last Sunday, that enemy would be so confused. He'll say, when I do this to them, they jump up and down and they rejoice it. When this happened, they jumping up and down. I don't know what else to do to them. No matter what, they jumping up and down. That's right. Because I'm dealing with an eternal perspective of salvation. I got a hidden reality that I'm living out in this world. You may not understand, why does he keep getting up? What makes you keep coming and doing what you do? It's a hidden reality on the inside of me that I'm living out for the world to see. This thing is real. Just because you can't see it, don't mean it ain't real. It's a reality. And if we're going to be saved, let's live it out for real. Let's make this world take notice that there's some folks who really love God. No matter what happened. Well, you know, shouldn't you? There's a whole lot of questions. I don't have all the answers. But I know one thing. When I get to the end of this, every question I had will be answered. Everything I didn't understand, he said, we're gonna be known. We're gonna know. How is it? We're gonna know as we have been known. Something like that. In other words, everything I need to know, I'm gonna know. I ain't gonna lack anything as far as what I need to know. And some stuff that I think I need to know ain't gonna matter anyway. I just believe you all that if we just stick together, walk with God, encourage one another, you can make it. Might be tough now, but you can make it. They used to say, if you got to crawl into heaven, still get there. Crawling is okay. It's worth it. Because this world don't have nothing to offer to keep you from going. Nothing. Some of us don't like it when it's hot. Some of us don't like it when it's cold. All I know is heaven is the perfect temperature. Whatever that is. Because we don't need a sun there because the sun is there. It's perfect temperature. Flowers. What do you mean flowers? Well, if we're going to eat of the plant that's got healing, it's got to be some kind of flower. It's all there. Just make it here. Just make it here. I hear little things. I hear arguments. It's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Let me talk to your couples just for a second. Let me ask you something. When you finish arguing, do you even remember what you're arguing over? It's the small foxes that spoil the vine. Be very careful. Be very careful. When that enemy can't get you, he try to bring discord in your house. Be careful. Families, be careful. That enemy try to turn you against one another. Children, be careful. Honor your mother and your father that your days may be long upon the earth. It is the first commandment with promise. You want to live long? Honor your parents. The Bible says for us not to provoke our children to wrath. Parents, you're the parent. You're not a tyrant. Don't provoke them to wrath. See, this enemy wants to bring is discord. Just discord. Let's be careful. We need to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Are you wise to the strategies and the ploys and the tactics of the enemy? What is he really trying to do? Or are you so concerned about you that you don't even see it? Glory to God. Father, I speak peace. I speak peace in the home. God, I speak peace in the mind. God, I speak peace now in every area that was troubled with doubt and unbelief, Lord. God, I pray that even today, that what you have shared with us, and God, the worship of your presence being manifest with us today, God, go into the homes, go into the hearts of your people. Show them, Lord, bear witness with your word today. Not because of me, but because of your word. Let them experience your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.